There's a phrase in verse 1 of 1 Peter 5 that I want to draw your attention to this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1. And it's that little phrase, the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ. Let's look to the Lord, please, in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we come before you once again to ask for your help. We recognize today that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us in our weakness today as a group of your people. Lord, as we come to your word, give us a hunger to learn. Give us a desire to be fed on the word today. And we ask that you'll bless your children this morning and encourage them. And we pray, Lord, that you will meet with us as we open the sacred page. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of the actor Stephen Fry. Stephen Fry. He appeared last Sunday night on RTE1. Now, I didn't see the program. But he appeared on the program. It's a program called The Meaning of Life. And he appeared on that program. It's hosted by Gay Byrne. You may know of him. He used to host the Late Late Show on RTE. But it's a program, it's a religious program, and it examines the, as it's called, the meaning of life. They look at different, I suppose, ethical issues, you could call them. But Mr. Fry appeared last Sunday night on this program. And at one stage, he was asked the question by the interviewer. Suppose it's all true, and you will walk up to the pearly gates and are confronted by God. What will Stephen Fry say to him or her or it? And Stephen Fry replied, I'd say, bone cancer in children? What's that about? How dare you? How dare you create a world in which there is such misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world that is so full of injustice and pain? That's what I would say. Let me just say that Stephen Fry is an atheist, and you may have heard that he's a homosexual, and he supposedly, I'll put it in inverted commas, married a man half his age recently. So obviously he's a man who has no time for the Lord. But here we have him speaking against God. He says that God is not a God who deserves to be worshipped because he has created a world where there is suffering, where there is evil, where there is pain. And he uses the example of children with bone cancer. I want to try to answer his tirade today. I want to try to answer this man who is blaming God for the evils in the world today, for the suffering in our world. It is an important issue. It's an important subject. I believe it's a subject that ministers and preachers need to address. The whole subject of human suffering. The whole subject of how we as people suffer at the hands of other people. I suppose you could say man's inhumanity to man. Why does God allow it to happen? We could talk today not only about human suffering, but what about animal suffering? Animal suffering? No true Christian likes to see an animal suffer. You know, the Bible says that a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. In other words, a true Christian loves animals and will care for animals. And let me say today, any Christian who would harm or hurt an animal, it's a disgrace. It's an absolute disgrace. They have no right to take the name Christian upon them. But oh, how sad today to think about the animals that suffer. You may have heard in the news over the recent days the story about the halal abattoirs in England, where animals are being brought and they're being butchered without any sedatives, without any anesthetics. You know how it is in our country. The animals, before they're killed in the abattoir, they're stunned. Well, these animals that go to these Muslim abattoirs, they're not stunned. And it's terrible and it's gruesome, and I'm not going to go into it today because there are children in church this morning. But how gruesome it is, the suffering of innocent animals. Why does God allow it to happen? It's the whole problem of evil. In fact, that's the title that many people give it, the problem of evil. How do we explain the problem of evil and also tell people that God is all-powerful and he's a God of love? He can do whatever he wishes. He controls all things and he's a God of love and grace. And then the question comes back, well, if he's a God of love and he's all-powerful, as you Christians say, why doesn't he stop all the evil things that happen in the world? And that's what Stephen Fry was getting at. Now, the language he used was wrong, and it's a fearful thing. It's a terrible thing to blaspheme God and to, as he did later in the interview, he called God a maniac. That's a very serious thing. And no human being, no creature ought to, no creature dare shake his fists in the face of his creator. It's a very, very serious matter. But we need to pray for that man that he'd be saved, that he'd be brought out of darkness and brought into the marvelous light of the gospel. But this whole subject, it is a subject that is important. We can't just gloss over it. It's a question that many young people are asking today. Many, many young people today, and they're finding it difficult to get their head around this. How that a God of love can allow so much evil and suffering in the world. There are a lot of people today, they're asking, well, why did God allow the Holocaust? 6 million Jews and other people murdered at the hands of the Nazis so cruelly. Why did God allow this to happen? What about 9/11? September the 11th. There's a book written by John Blanchard. He's a Christian author, and the title of it is, Where Was God on September the 11th? Why does God allow natural disasters to happen? Why did he let the Asian tsunami take place in 2004? Why does he let other natural disasters happen? Why did he let the earthquake in Haiti take place some years ago? These are questions that people are asking. And so today I want to come to the subject, I suppose we could give it the title, Making Sense of Suffering. Making Sense of suffering. Before we come to the subject, let me just remind you of a verse in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Listen to it carefully. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. In other words, there are questions that we have in this life that we will never find the answer to. But if you're saved, one day you'll be able to sit down beside the Savior and you'll be able to ask that question and he'll be able to answer it. Because in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I can't answer every question, even today. I can't promise that I'm going to give you a clear, simplistic answer to to this question about the problem of evil. But thank God one day we'll be able to sit down with Christ in that land that is fairer than day, and we'll be able to ask the questions, Lord, why did you let this happen? Lord, why did you let the other thing happen? There's a verse in John chapter 13, the Lord Jesus takes the towel to wipe the disciples' feet. And he comes to Peter, and Peter says that, Lord, you're never going to wash my feet. In other words, what Peter meant was, Lord, you're the King of glory, and you're taking a servant's job, the job of a slave, to wash our dirty feet, to wash the sand and the dirt off our feet. Lord, this is not a job for you, it's a job for someone else. You're not going to wash my feet, Lord. And of course, we have that wonderful reply from the Savior. Jesus said, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Christian, I wonder, is there something happening in your life and you don't understand it? Well, listen to the words of Christ. What I do thou knowest not now. It's mysterious. But thou shalt know hereafter. Someday you will know. Isn't there a little poem about the tapestry and the dark threads and the bright threads that make up the garment? And you see the little poem, it goes on to say that the dark threads are as needful as the bright colored threads in the tapestry. And you know, in life, even though we don't understand the dark threads, we don't understand the, if I could put it this way, to put it very simple, the bad things that happen in life. We don't understand them down here on earth. But thank God, the Christian's hope is that one day we will understand them, and one day the things that are hazy and misty will be made plain. The Lord has promised in the book of Isaiah that the crooked places shall be made straight. Thank God, one day we will be able to ask the questions that we never got the answers to down here. So what about the problem of evil? What about this very important question about the suffering and the wrong that's in our world today? How can God be a God of love and yet allow all these things to happen? How can we understand it? What is the meaning of all this? First of all, I want to say today, because death is not the end, God will be fair. Because death is not the end, God will be fair. I want to say today that the wrongs that happen down here in this life, one day they'll be righted. You see, the atheist cannot give you any hope. Atheists cannot say, oh, well, there's a hereafter, and one day people are going to stand before God, and then there'll be justice. Atheism cannot give you that hope. The atheist says, there is no God. This life is all there is. So if you've been wronged in this life, I'm sorry. That's just the way the cookie crumbles, and this is the end. This is all there is. You're going to be thrown into a hole someday like an animal. That's the end. No hope. Who would be an atheist? You see, atheists say, oh, well, we can explain it all and we can solve this problem. There is no God. That's why all these things are happening in the world today. There's no God. Well, the atheist supposedly gets rid of God, but I'll tell you something else that he gets rid of. He gets rid of hope. Because if you say there's no God, then there's no judgment seat. And there's no throne of judgment where the God of all the earth will put right the wrongs of this life. I'm glad today to be a believer. I'm glad to be a Christian. I'm glad to be able to say to you today, if you've been wronged in this life and the perpetrator has got off scot-free, they're only going to get off scot-free for a certain length of time, because someday they will have to stand before God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You see, that brings hope. We're dealing here with the whole subject of justice. Justice. And the Bible says, the Lord says in Romans chapter 12, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." But the atheist can't say that. An atheist cannot say to you, "Well, take heart. Even though you've been wronged and you've suffered evil in this life, take heart, because one day God will put everything right and God will even out all the wrongs of this life." The atheist can't say that. Atheism removes all hope. But the Christian can say that one day God is going to be fair. Death is not the end. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And then the Lord will sort the mess out. Then the Lord will untangle the knot, as it were. Then the Lord will right the wrongs of this life. See, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Friends, whatever is happening in our world today, and whatever has happened in the past, and whatever is happening in your life, remember one thing: God is a fair God. He's a just God. And Abraham asked that question, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" In other words, it's a rhetorical question. Abraham was really saying, "Of course he will. God will always do what is right." And so let me leave that first thought with you today. Because death is not the end, God will be fair. Let me speak secondly about the cross of Christ. Whenever we think about the suffering that's in our world, we need to point men and women to the one who suffered more than any other person, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read today in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, about the sufferings of Christ. You know, 1 Peter mentions about the Savior's sufferings time and time again. 1 Peter 1, verse 11, that same phrase is used, the sufferings of Christ. Chapter 2, 21, because Christ also suffered for us. Chapter 3, 18, Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Chapter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Chapter 4, 13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Time and time again, this epistle that Peter wrote, it points us to the suffering Savior. Think about it today. God upon a cross. What's that all about? God on a cross. It tells me one thing today. The God who created this universe, the God who created you and me, he is not distant from our suffering. He is not aloof from our pain. He is a God who has identified with our suffering. He has identified with our pain. In fact, he did it in such an amazing way that he came into this world, and from the start of his life to the end of his life, he was the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And he went to the old rugged cross, and there you have him. Think about it. The Son of God, God incarnate, hanging on an old, rugged cross. You tell me today that God doesn't care about our suffering. I dare you to say that today. Stephen Fry is misguided. He's very wrong to blame God for the evil in the world. Our God is a compassionate God, a God of grace, tenderness. We've read today how we're to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for you. By the way, who should we blame for the evil and the suffering in the world? I'll tell you who. The devil. The devil. John chapter 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the devil has come down into this world to do. Whenever you see the evil in the world, the atrocities that are committed in the world, the natural disasters, all these things taking place, and you're tempted to say, well, where is God in all of this? No, don't do that. Don't ask that question. Say to yourself, this is the work of the devil. Or as Jesus said in Matthew 13, an enemy hath done this. Please don't blame God. Blame Satan. Our God has come into this world in the form of His only begotten Son. 1 Peter 3, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. The love that Jesus had for me to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. But you know, the cross of Christ and the suffering of Christ isn't the end of the story. Let me point you today to the resurrection. Let me point you today to the risen Christ. Because the symbol of Christianity today is the empty tomb. The tomb is empty. He arose, He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Friends, this is the comfort that comes to us in the midst of our suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death. He has triumphed over death. Therefore, that gives us great hope. We're not worshiping a God on a cross today. We're worshiping a God who has risen from the dead and who has ascended and is worshiped in glory today. And because He lives, we shall live also. Or as the hymn writer put it, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. What comfort that is for a mother, a father, who have lost a little child. I'll see them again one day. The body of that little child will be raised. It's not goodbye, it's just good night. That little one is in glory with Christ. My, what a comfort it is, the resurrection of Christ. No matter what the situation is, no matter what the suffering is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest comfort that we can possibly have. And He is alive, you know. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. He really did rise from the dead. Do you know Him? And if you do know Him, I trust that you'll leave this service today. And whenever someone asks you why does God allow these things to happen? Why is the world in such a mess? Why is there so much suffering in this world? I trust that whenever people ask you that question, that you'll be able to point them to the cross of Christ, to the suffering Christ. You'll point them to the empty tomb. You'll point them to the God who came into this world to sympathize with us in our suffering.